And Sheldon is one of those guys that, you know, God has just touched, and just a great anointing on your life, Sheldon. So you just share there. I'll give you a wave when it's time to finish. And if I forget to wave, just keep going.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hasn't this weekend been awesome?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. God is awesome. Just felt to share this morning, like, God's going to be bringing some people into our churches and into our chapters that that have been through some stuff. So I just want to share, like, some of what my old man was like, so to just prepare some people for what might be coming. Everyone knows what it's like in the world. Like, when you're in the world, everyone's searching for something. You know, they're like, everyone in the world's looking for something. And we know now as Christians, after receiving the Lord and His forgiveness and His Spirit, that that's what everyone's looking for. They're looking for God. And but back in the world, I was trying to fill that void, that hole, with just whatever was around, like just TV or music, adrenaline, sports. But what really I really liked was drugs. Like, when I started drugs, I thought, this is what I've been looking for. Like, it takes away my pain, and it makes me feel good. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And I just got into that more and more drugs, and I thought it was really good. But I was just lying to myself, and yeah. It just got worse and worse, and I was needing to take more drugs to stay happy, and I wasn't facing up to the problems that were in my life. I was running away from them, and it got worse and worse and worse. I did come to a point where I was like, I need to, everything I see is bad, everyone I know is negative, everything is dark, I don't want to be here, surely there must be something good. And I clicked on, oh, that must be God. Like, I want to go on that side. And I had talked to God over the years. Every time I get into trouble, I would call out to God, and I'll say, oh, I'm in so much trouble, I've been thinking about this, there's no way out, there's nothing that I can possibly do to get myself out of this situation. If you get me out of this situation, I'll have to believe that you are real, and I'll be good. I'll be good from now on, and that's it. And some miracle would happen, and I would get out of trouble. But I would think, oh, that was so lucky. That is so lucky. That is such a coincidence that those things happen. I'm so grateful that an angel didn't have to come down and do something, because then I'd have to be good. And I'd renege my whole part of the deal. And that was my relationship with God. But I got to a point where I thought, I want to seek this God, because He's always been good to me. And so I got down on my knees and I said, God, I want to seek you, I want to find out who you are, because you've always been good, but I want to play one more time. And that time cost me a lot. I'd been studying about different sort of drugs. I was looking for the next big thing that would make me my billions, and I decided to get some friends together, and we'd try it. And I gave them one, and I thought, it's my last time, I'll take five. And it was terrible. It was the worst night of my life. And this particular drug, your body can't break it down. It just sits on your brain for about a year. And it was just the only way to explain it, what it's like, is those people that have been in the Spirit and got taken up to heaven, and time doesn't exist, and it's just an eternal thing that way, an eternal thing that way. It was like that. It was just forever. But it was forever a nightmare. It was just, I was in the spiritual, just trapped there. I made it home to my mum's house, and I made it into my room, and I just stayed there. It was a dark place, and I was locked in there for a long time. and I couldn't make it out. I was hearing the demonic, and I was just, I couldn't even get outside the door. The only time I'd leave was to go to the bathroom or to the fridge and then back in. And it was just like forever night. Like every time I'd open my eyes, it was still nighttime forever. And that's what it felt like. And I remember every night waking up at the same time at 11:34, and the next night 11:34, and that was the only light in my room. And in the mirror, the 11:34 upside down, it said hell. And I was like, what's... And it was the first time I clicked on that I might not be going to heaven. I was just, I might not be going. And I was stuck in that place just... And it was a lot darker than I'm explaining it, and a lot worse. But I'm just skimming over it. But after about 8 months, I just gave up. I was like, I can't make it out of here. There's no way that I can make it out. I can't even get outside my room, outside the house, let alone make it in the world. So I just said, if there's anyone out there that wants a soul, come and get it, because I'm finished. I've had enough. And my room filled up with light, and there was just a swirling wind, and that there'd been so much spiritual negative stuff going on and spiritual things happening in that room that just was just in a didn't seem strange to me. It was just something else. It was just like a dream. And three angels were in the corner of the room just saying, what's going on? You know, where are you at? And I just said, look, I'm in this place. I've been trying to get out for however long, and I can't. I just want out. And then one of them said, what is it that you want? And I didn't even know at the time, but the Lord put it on my heart and said... And I was saying, I want to go around the world preaching about Jesus. I want to go out and I want to raise people from the dead and I want to heal the sick. And they said, we can use someone like you. And I was like, okay. And they said, everything's going to be okay. And I was hoping that meant right then, but it didn't. A few days later, my friend rung up and said, would you like to come and work for my father? And I said, yes. And I went out to work with him, and he was a Christian man. And he just showed me this love, this unconditional love that I'd never seen before or felt or experienced. And I didn't understand it at all. It looked strange to me. And I'd look at him, and I'm like, are you really... strong or really weak? I can't tell what it is, because someone would offend him and disrespect him, and he wouldn't retaliate. And I'm like, you should be fighting back, or you should be defending yourself or something. And I didn't understand it, but just watching him for 5 years, I thought, well, I want what that guy has. Like he's at peace. But even after 5 years of him just showing me all this love, and their whole family just showing me all this love, I still couldn't receive it. I still felt unworthy. And from what I'd gone through, I was so insecure, so fragile, that was the only family I could have been built up in, because I was so, it's just so fragile. But even after that 5 years, I decided I can't receive your love. How can you love me? I'm unworthy of love from what I've done in my past, and it's a whole lot worse than I've said. But they just showed me this love. I decided that I was just going to run and try and outrun it. And I'd go to the next town. And I just left, went to the next town, got on it, back into the old stuff, drinking, drugs, just whatever. And my past would catch up, and I'd have to move on. New job, new friends, live it up again, move on. And I did it all the way along the South Island until I got to Picton, and I run out of land. And I thought, I was listening to Bob Marley at the time, and there's a song that said, "You're running and you're running and you're running away, but you can't run away from yourself." And I was like, damn, it's me. It's me I'm running away from. And so I cried out to the Lord again, and I said, "If I'm scared to face my past, but if you help me, I'll turn around and I'll face it." And I felt him say, "Hold my hand." And I held his hand, and we just turned around on the spot and faced the other way. And I said, I can't do this on my own. I need, send me an angel. And a few days later, I was at my sister's house, and she said, her friend Ange was coming. She said, "Ange is coming, but watch out, she's a Christian. And she'll try and make you go to church." And I was like, "Nah, don't worry, I'm never going to church. I'm never going to church." But she came along, and she hit me from the side and said, "We have a youth group going on, and there's no male role models there." And I was going, "Role model? I could be a role model." And so I started going to the youth group, and a couple months later, I gave my heart to the Lord. Well, actually, I was up on stage in one of the youth plays, and I was Silas in jail with the cuffs on my hand, and in part of the song, I just broke the cuffs and had my hands stuck up in the air. And it was about then I had this revelation when my hands were up in the air, is what am I doing in church? Like, what has happened? My hands are up in the air in front of all these people. But I gave my heart to the Lord, and He started to do an amazing work. He delivered me from a lot of demonic stuff. He healed me. He renewed my mind that was pretty messed up at the time. Filled me with His Spirit. I could never laugh or cry, and now I find it hard not to. And God is just so good. And there's going to be people coming into our churches and our chapters that are pretty messed up, and I was messed up, and I thank God that He put people in my life to show me that unconditional love. Like, that's what I needed. That's the only thing that could have worked. Not any ear bashing or anything, just that love of God. That there's nothing that... He's just so good, eh? He's just so good. But, I might leave it there. But all glory to God, He's so good.
Well, sure we are. Tantek Singh, hand over to you. And this is Tinky on the end here, Tantek Singh's wife.
I'm going to stand there, all right? I stand here. Well, all of us are in revival mode now. And I'm going to teach you a song. It's called A Happy Man Song. And let me go through one round first. And then all of us will begin to sing this song together. Will that be okay? Now this song sings like this. I am a happy man, doing happy things, worshipping every day, rejoicing Him always, praising with a song, clapping with my hands, praising all day long, for I am a happy man. Praise You, Lord. I will praise You with all my heart. Bless You, Lord. I will bless You with my soul. Thank You, Lord. I will thank You with a song. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let me always rejoice in You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. For I am a happy man. We sing one more round. I am a happy man, doing happy things, worshipping every day, rejoicing Him always, praising with a song, clapping with my hands, praising all day long, for I am a happy man. Praise You, Lord. I will praise You with all my heart. Bless You, Lord. I'll bless you with my soul. Thank you, Lord. I will thank you with a song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me always rejoice in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For I am happy man. Let us all arise. Come on. I am a happy man, doing happy things, worshipping every day, rejoicing Him always, praising with a song, clapping with my hands, praising all day long, for I am a happy man. Praise you, Lord, I will praise you with a heart. Bless you, Lord, I will bless you with my soul. Thank you, Lord, I will thank you with a song. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Rejoicing you. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for I'm a happy man. One more round. I am a happy man. Let us go round. Happy things. Worshipping every day. Rejoicing Him always. Rod, can you come and lead them? Rod? Now, we are going to go round, all right? We are going to go round. Hallelujah. I am a happy man, doing happy things, worshipping every day, rejoicing Him always, praising with a song, clapping with my hands, praising all day long, for I am a happy man. Praise you, Lord, I'll praise you all my heart. Bless you, Lord, I will bless you with my soul. Thank you, Lord, I will thank you with a song. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Let me always rejoice in you. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for I'm a happy man. Hey, you are happy man. You are happy man. You are happy man. I am a happy man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All of us are happy men because we are happy because of you. Lord Jesus, you are such a wonderful God. You are a prayer answering and prayer hearing God. And this morning, Lord, we just want to commit the whole entire morning to you. We want to thank you, Lord, for such a great convention that you have given our New Zealand brothers, Lord, to organize this convention. We also want to thank you, Lord, for the worship team, Lord, that for worshiping such great songs for us. Lord, that we just want to thank you this morning. And Father, that this morning, may you continue to anoint my lips, that, Lord, help me to hide behind the cross. That whatever that I share this morning, we glorify your name. We'll continue to just lift your name on high. I want to thank you, bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Please be seated. Wow, it's wonderful. We are into the season of blessing now. Isn't that this a season of blessing? Yes, it's a season of blessing for New Zealand now. No need just for the whole entire world. And revival has come to New Zealand now. And I believe that, you know, from here, especially from this hall, it's going to break loose and all the New Zealand will be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Now, Bible in this, in John 15, 1 and 2 and 5 and 7 says this, I am the true wine, for my Father is the wine dresser. Now, Jesus said, He is the wine, that we are the branches. And who is the wine dresser? The Father is the wine dresser. All right? Now, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Wow. If you don't bear fruit, the Lord is going to, you know, our Father God is going to discipline all of us. So that all of us, we have to undergo all this pruning process in order to bear fruit. We have to go through the cleansing process. We have to go through all our sins, repentance, and so on, so that Father God will be able to make us whole and we'll be able to come and serve Him wholeheartedly with a life of holiness and to seek Him first and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to our life. Amen? And Jesus said that I am the vine, that you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Right? Without Jesus, all of us can do nothing. Amen? So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. So whatever that you ask for in Jesus' name, you know, that God will grant you your heart's desire. Amen? So this morning what I'm going to share with you is that because, you see, since this is a time of season of blessing, and we know that, you know, all of us, we are meant to stand on the promises of God and not sit on the premise and wait for things to happen. Right? That's why, you know, I told you that yesterday, you know, I was a very successful young man. I graduated as a mechanical engineer. At a very young age, I was working in a multinational company with 4,000 over employees. And in that company, very soon, I was promoted to head the production department with 600 over employees. And with four senior supervisors, and I was the only bachelor. I was a very arrogant and also, you know, very self-full of self-confidence young man, because thinking that I have already made it. You see, that the I was thinking that, you know, in order for me to become rich, so I must go and look for a rich man's daughter. So I had so many of the operators who were after me when I was a young man. I was a handsome young man. But what happened? No, I didn't fall in love with any one of them. I went after a rich man's daughter. And so I went to a rich man's daughter. My friend was, you know, took his father's BMW and said that, let me become your chauffeur and go to the rich man's daughter's house so they impress the rich man that you are a great boss. You are indeed, you know, a big boss. So, and that was it, that he took me on, you know, with his father's BMW, and we went to this rich man's house and to in order to meet this young, you know, this young woman that I was after. And of course, the father saw me coming in with the BMW, welcome me, you know. And, you know, I got a chance to actually date my girlfriend that time. All right? So, what happened? I was a poor man, and I went after a rich man's daughter. All right? And then we got married in the year 1976. At that time, I was already heading the department, and I was sitting in a very big, comfortable office with a beautiful secretary, you know, and I was already thought that I have already made it. So I got married in the year 1976. Now, when I got married, of course, I kept on working. I got no time for my wife. And here I want to introduce you my better half, my best half. Tinky is my best half. You know, I really want to thank God for blessing me this rich man's daughter. You know, we've been married for now 36 years now. And still running strong. Praise the Lord. I want to emulate the brother 65 years of marriage. Yeah? So we still stay strong. Now, we have been married for, you know, after about, you know, couple of years. And many of our friends came to share with us about Jesus. But we were very successful in our career. So we said we don't need Jesus. Right? So what happened was that, you know, one of our friends who is a police officer, whom I've known him for many, many years. Now, this police officer was a crook. He was very corrupt, and he was a womanizer. Before I, you know, when I was, you know, when I knew him. But after we separated for quite a number of years, and I met him, He was already heading. He was the head of the police in one of the districts. And he saw me, and he recognized me, and he came to hug me. For the first time, I was hugged by a man. You know, I thought there's something wrong with this police officer. And what happened was that after that, he shared with me about how the Lord has touched him and how the Lord has changed his life and how he has turned from a crook to a really a very, you know, good man now. And now the Lord has actually blessed him. And he has been been promoted to the chief of the district in that particular district, chief of the police in that particular district. And what happened was that when I heard about Jesus, I ran away. Because two categories of people I was very scared to meet during those days. One was an insurance man who tried to sell me insurance. And another person who tried to share with me the gospel. Because these two categories of people, when they come and they get to know you, they never let you go. So what happened was that this police officer shared with us, say, okay, if you don't believe in Jesus, it's all right. But since now you have got a girl, I want to pray for you. You've got two girls. I want to pray for you for your wife to have another baby boy. And, you know, miracles starts to happen in my home. And now I'm going to pass my time to my wife to share with you my ugly past. Then I'll tell you about my better past, better half, all right? The other half of it, all right? Let us put our hands together to welcome my best half.
Well, how do you like a husband to give you permission to let go of all his ugly past? I want to correct him. I'm not a rich man's daughter because of my father is rich. I'm made wealthy because my heavenly father is the one. All wealth comes from him, right? Yes. Amen. I will take you back to the time where, you know, my husband and I, we are business partners. We started a business, and the time we are very successful. And when this friend of ours shared Jesus, and we thought that, you know, we are okay. As long as we don't do any harm, we are all right. We don't need to have Jesus. But then, you know, this friend of ours, after about 2 years of sharing Jesus, told us one thing. When you come to a time when there's no answer to your problem, when you come to a crossroad of your life that you are desperate, always remember Jesus. You call upon the name of Jesus and you will experience his love, his peace, and he will come and save you. And at that point in time, when I was conceived, when he prayed, I conceived 2 months later and was confirmed to be a baby boy. And when 6 months into my pregnancy, I had a near miscarriage. And the baby was, the head was already at the opening, and I was rushed to hospital because I was bleeding very badly. And the gynae was told my husband that it is an emergency case. I have to operate on your wife, but the baby could not live because it's only early 6 months, and the baby, the brain is still not formed properly. My husband, because being a typical Chinese businessman, he said, "No matter how, you have to save my wife because we have two girls." And my second daughter already 8 years old, and this third child is confirmed to be a boy. And my wife is coming to 38 years old. It's difficult for her to conceive again. And the doctor said, I cannot do anything, but I can give you time. I give 1 hour, you know, grace period for your wife, you know, to see whether her condition. If her bleeding have subsided or getting less, I will put her into this hospital for 3 more months for full maturity of the womb for the baby to conceive. But within 1 hour time, if the bleeding is so bad, I have to operate. I have no choice, but the baby cannot leave. So my husband went to the office to sign a consent form to get ready for the emergency in case within 1 hour. At that time, I was alone in the ward room, you know, and I was in fear, but after that, there's kind of a, you know, a kind of a presence of God, which I could not understand because at that time, I haven't received Jesus. But the, you know, God, through His grace, helped me to remember this particular, you know, sentence that my friend shared, say that when you're at the crossroad of your life, there's no answer to your problem. Remember to call Jesus, and He will come and save you. And I called Jesus. Wow, the peace came. And then I can sense movement in my womb. And when the nurse came to check on my pulse and say, the doctor will see your condition before go to the operation theater, I told the nurse, can I see, ask the doctor to come quickly. I sense there's some movement in the womb. And doctor came, and the doctor couldn't believe it and said, I'll bring you to the scanning room to check before I bring you to the operation. And sure enough, the baby went back to the original position. And I carried this baby into full term. 3 months later, no complication, normal birth. And today, my son is 21 years old, studying in Sydney. And a miracle happened at home at our doorstep. But my husband didn't want to receive that miracle. He started to reject it by getting very upset. Every Sunday when I get ready to go to church, he will persecute me. He's my persecutor. Yeah? And he threatened to divorce me if I keep on insisting to go to church. But I want to encourage all of you here who have similar situation right now with your loved ones, do not give up. Because our God is alive. He hears prayer. And I know that He hears prayer because of my baby. You know, He saved my baby. And I, without fear, every time my husband would persecute me, I would go to the washroom on my knees and I say, Lord, no matter what, I will not deny You. And please, Lord, preserve this marriage. No matter whatever He said, I could take it. But never, no divorce, because You hate divorce. And God answered my prayer for 3.5 years. You know, God preserved this marriage. And one day, my husband, when I said that I want to go for baptism for that weekend, God do a second miracle. This persecutor of mine, suddenly when I told him, this Sunday, I'm going baptism, I'm waiting for him to, I do not know what he will say to me. This time is for real. Maybe he would say, you go to my lawyer's office this time. But you know what I say? I will join you. And that was how he received Christ. But I want to tell you, yeah. And I want to tell you that this second miracle happened, that he received Christ. He baptized with me on the same day. But his life, did his life change? Not at all. Because he saw the peace that I have every time, you know. And our company was expanding at the time. And he couldn't sleep at night. But every night he could see me sleeping. And I'm in charge of these two critical departments in the company. I'm in charge of the human resource and the finances. And when we are expanding our business, we borrow high borrowing from the bank and high interest, you know. And there's come a financial crisis. My husband couldn't sleep in the night. And he could see me sleeping every night and ask me the next morning, you know, how could you sleep? I say, I got the peace of Jesus. Why don't you come and receive Jesus? And because when I say I'm ready for baptism, that's why he said he would join me. But his life, there's still no impact, no encounter with the Lord. And he still do his own thing, you know. He still goes to entertainment with his customers. And we got a lot of clients from Japan. And they love to go all these nightclubs and everything. still the same old man. Until one day, you know, I was very concerned because I say, Lord, in the book of Deuteronomy, say, you know, Deuteronomy 28 says, the blessing of the Lord, you know, is overflowing in our life. Why our life is still, is there's no breakthrough. Lord, I want to see a breakthrough. I'm very concerned about his spiritual, you know, his spiritual state of life. So I pray, I continue to pray and press in. And one day, God answered prayer. Just like this conference, you know, we are going for a church, actually a church conference, and a miracle happened. And this third miracle happened is that, you know, the Lord, he encountered Jesus himself. We went up to this mountainside, and when we reached the destination of the hotel, my husband discovered that our car, the road tax, you know, Malaysia, we have a road tax that we stick onto our windscreen. It was missing. And, you know, he got his own nature, a very hot temper. My husband was a very, very hot temper man, you know. So he was so angry, he started to blame me, you know, and was so upset and keep on saying, you know, pointing fingers. And one of my children told the dad, Dad, Bible say, in everything comes in prayer, you know, and ask God. You know what my husband say? Stop praying. I say, keep your mouth shut. You think that you pray, you know, the road tax paper can from sky will come down to you. You better keep quiet. All of us go home. No more going to the conference. And he was so upset, he started to drive down, you know, the mountain. And because he didn't want to go attend the conference anymore. And halfway, the voice of the Lord spoke to me because my children was praying in tongue in the car. And the Lord spoke to me, see the tea man. Do you know that halfway there's a tea store? We did stop there on the way up, you know, to have a cup of tea and some poto staking. And when we came down the time, you know, the voice spoke to me. So I told my husband, go and see the tea man. And he obediently stopped the car, went down to the, you know, to the tea store. And the time when it was raining very heavily and the wind was so strong. And he straight away asked the man from the tea store, give me my road tax. And the man was surprised because an hour earlier, you know, it was raining heavily and the wind blew this piece of paper into his store. And he kept it under, you know, the saucer. And this man came and demanded, where's my road tax? So he gave it to my husband. And my husband had the road tax. But being a man with pride and doesn't want to lose out, he put inside his pocket. He was so quiet, he came to the car, didn't want us to know what is happening. And then he started to on the engine. Do you know that once it started the car, the power of the Holy Spirit came and convicted him. And he couldn't drive. He put his whole arms around the wheel and started to cry, sob like a baby. And then my children, you know, mothers and parents, when children, you bring them to the way of the Lord, they also can hear the Spirit of God, what God wanted them to do. Do you know my three children? They surround their father and my eldest daughter. That time was very young, about 10 years old, told the dad, Dad, please don't cry. We love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus has forgiven you. And when he heard that, he cried louder because, you know, he felt guilty. But I want to tell you, that day onwards, my husband turned around 180 degrees, you know. Previously, when the church, you know, asked him, you know, Tan, you have a potential to be a leader. We want to train you to be one of a home group leader. He said, no, I'm a businessman. I make money. You want money? You tell me. I will find money. I will raise up money. Don't ask me to be so holy. This is not me. I am the man out there making money for you. Don't ask me. So he will be like, no, sitting on the premises. He don't stand on God's promise. That's why he don't see any breakthrough. But I want to tell you, from that incident, transform life, a renewed life, a revival has happened in his, you know, in his spirit. And because of revival comes to his spirit, the whole household, all of us can sense the revival of God doing in our family. And God today is so good. He gave us, he blessed us with extended family. My two daughters who are married, my son-in-laws, they are servants of God. They serve God in the church. And our extended family, they are servants of God. This is a blessing of God if we want to hold on. And I can tell you, God is so amazing, bringing us to nations. And we go to 15 nations, you know, the period of time he called us to do full-time ministry, even we have business of our own. And God has bring us to Israel. And our testimony has touched many lives, transformed lives, because we are serving a resurrected Jesus. The spirit that's resurrected Jesus is living in us. If we know how to tap on the promises of God, we can see revival coming into our life, into our family, into our community, into our nation. And today, I want to present to you the revived man, Tan Teck Seng.
Very good, come to Jesus, very good. Very good, come to Jesus, very good. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or the Sunday, very good. Come to Jesus, very good. Hallelujah! Isn't it wonderful? You know, a transformed life. You know, talking about transformed life, you know, there's this man, elderly man, who used to live in the village. He has never come to the, you know, to the town, and he has never seen a lift before. So the son one day said, Dad, come to the revival meeting. And the revival meeting is held on the fifth floor of the church, of the building. So when this old man came with the son to the revival meeting, and he was hesitating to enter the lift, because he has never seen a lift and he dare not go into a lift. So while he was hesitating down there, he saw an elderly lady walk into the lift and the lift tung, closed. And he waited and waited. Then the lift door opened, tung, opened. And there was a young, vibrant lady walked out from that lift. Instantly, this elderly man told the son, Son, let's go home. The son said, No, Dad. Revival meeting going to start. I don't care. I'm going to bring your mother here. Hallelujah. You know, there are four distinct truths in our life. Whether you are a believer, you are non-believers. Now, the first one is this, that, you know, there is always a problem to face. Now, when you are faced with a problem just like me, when I received Jesus into my life, I was a very arrogant, I was a very self-confident, I was a very hot-tempered man. Now, God wanted to prune me. You know the wine dresser? Father God wanted to prune me. So 2 weeks after I accepted Jesus into my life, you know, before that, I want to tell you, I always look at other women prettier than my wife before I came to the Lord. But the moment on the day of my baptism, I came out from the baptism pool, God changed my lenses. From that day onwards, when I look at my wife, I say, how come you become prettier and prettier? And today I always tell her that you are the most beautiful woman in the world. Hallelujah. And God not only transformed, you know, giving me a new pair of glasses, but God also wanted to prune me. Hallelujah. If not, then send into the lift, right? Now, what happened was, when I came, you know, to the Lord, 2 weeks after that, my Christian brother introduced me a driver, because my business was expanding and I had so many businesses everywhere.
And my friend said, you need a driver. So he introduced me a driver, and this driver came in to work for me. He used to be a truck driver in the armed forces. So he came to drive my brand new, the brand new car. You know, I had a brand new imported car from Japan, and he came to drive the car. And this man, he is an Indian Muslim. Indian Muslim, listen carefully. And his name is so long, more than 26 alphabets. His name is Paridas Anandalaki Devi Anandas alias Haji Muhammad Fairuz bin Abdullah. That long his name. He has such a long name, filling up more than 26, you know, alphabets. So when he came to work with me, and I tried to share Jesus with him, he tried to share, you know, Quran with me, because he has been to Mecca. So he tried to share Quran with me, and we started into argument. I said, you shut up. I'm the boss, you listen to me. He said, why should I listen to you? In work, I listen to you, but not spiritual things. So, and then we keep on, you know, arguing, you know, for about 1 or 2 weeks. And I was very irritated. I said, I want to find a way to fire this guy. The moment I had that thought in my mind, you know, the next day he smashed my car. Yeah. And I said that this really gave me a good chance to fire him. So I told my wife to prepare all the termination letter and so on. I took out his file. So that morning I called him into my office. The moment he walked into my office, he knocked my door. He said, good morning, sir. He saluted me. He said, sir, I want to receive Jesus into my life now. I looked at him in awe. I quickly took the file and put it in my drawer. I said, brother, come into the kingdom of God. Let me pray. So I pray a prayer of salvation for this man. But has his life changed after he received Jesus? No. He was still a rascal, you know. And he still, you know, he likes to drink, he smoked, and his life has no transformation at all. And we have, for the next 6 years, my wife and I got to bear with all his nonsense. That's why it's not easy to love someone who is unlovable. You try to say that you love someone who is unlovable, you know, it's easier said than done. And he gave us so much of problems, problem after problem. You know, in 6 years, he smashed 5 cars. How do you like that? We kept loving him. We put him into the cell group. I was a cell leader. And he kept on arguing with me every time on the scriptures. He tried to bring the Quran into the discussion. We got so much of argument. You know, but that is where Father God was pruning me. Father God was changing me. And prune and prune and prune for about 7 years. One day, I change. No, he changed. I change. So I begin to actually, you know, speak to him differently. I begin to love him, begin to show him, you know, care for him. And as a result of which, that he also changed. And on the 7th year, he changed. And on the 9th year, he retired from my company. He went to enroll into the Bible College. Graduated as a preacher. Preaching to the Muslim now. Hallelujah. You know, when you come to the Lord Jesus, doesn't mean that everything is smooth. But I have good news for you. Bible says in Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Wow. This is even better than any insurance company that can offer you insurance coverage all over the entire world. Alright? Because God's assurance to all of us is that He's giving us guidance every day. If you don't know, if you don't have wisdom, go back to God. God will continue to guide you in your business decision, in your decision even to choose the wife that you want to choose, right? And even the spouse, right? So the decision, God will continue to guide you. And God will give you all the satisfaction because He will satisfy your needs. And God will continue to make you very healthy because when you have the joy, yesterday I saw that all of you have tremendous joy. You know, you will feel, you are drunk with in the spirit, you know. So when you have the joy, you are tremendously healthy. And God say, I want to make you very fruitful. You are fruitful and multiply. Amen? Amen. You are just like a well-watered garden. Your leaves shall not wither, that you will continue to flourish. You will continue to bear fruit and multiply. Hallelujah. And God wants to refresh you. You are just like a well-watered garden, like a spring, that God wants to refresh you every time. If you don't, you are not refreshed, you know, by His word, then something is wrong somewhere. Because God will refresh you daily with His word. So that's why when you delight in His word by day and by night, we are refreshed every day. Amen? So, Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord is a sun and shield, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does He withheld from those whose walk is blameless. That's why we have to be steadfast in our faith in the Lord. We have to continue to walk in obedience with God. We have to continue to be faithful. Not only that, we have to continue to be blameless. You know, because once you are saved, and you have repented your sins, you sin no more because Jesus cleansed you with His blood daily. And Jesus wants to make you whole. Jesus wants to make you a brand new person. And therefore, you are a new creation. So He wants to bless you abundantly. But many a time, we do not know how to receive God's blessing upon our life. Because opportunity just passing by. So that's why God promises us to give us the provision that you need. He will continue to protect your going out and your coming in. And He said, my promises are yea and amen. Right? Because God is a wonder-making God. He said, I will promise you, I will give it to you, He will give it to you. Sure enough, because I tell you that we always claim on these God's promises. You know, during the financial crisis, Asian financial crisis, when we borrowed, you know, so many millions from the bank, our interest keep on piling up. And when our sales was dropping, our, you know, collection also dropped. And therefore, we were not able to repay the bank. And we owe the bank to the tune of a few hundred thousand of interest repayment. We couldn't pay. So, there are two, you know, the bank. One day, the banker came to my office, you know, with his file. And he never made any appointment because he used to make appointment. But on that morning, he didn't make any appointment. He just, you know, came to my office, dropped by to my office, and he saw me in the office. I was singing, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Because if I don't praise the Lord, I go mad. Because I owe the bank so much money, you know. And he saw me, was so happy inside there, because my office is made of glass door. And he approached my secretary, said, I would like to see your boss. So the secretary came to see me, said, bank manager here to see me. I said, come on, ask him to come in to, you know, have a cup of tea. All right? So he came in and he saw me. He looked at me. I was so joyful. That's why when you owe the bank money, don't be sad. You have to be joyful. All right? And he looked at me, so he was so joyful. He said, hey, Mr. Tan, you look so happy. I said, yes, I'm very happy. He said, how is your business? My business is okay. How is your collection? Not so good. But you look so happy. Yes, I look happy because my father is very rich. Oh, so he heard that my father is very rich. Quickly, he took out his file and he said, you see, you owe me so many hundred thousand of interest. The bank head office has already given this notice. And, you know, in about 2 weeks' time, if you don't pay up this amount of money, all your facilities will be stopped. That means multi-million of facilities that the bank has granted to you will be stopped. Since your father is so rich, quickly ask your father to titty the money into the account. Hallelujah. And I said to the bank manager, I said, don't worry, you go back. I will ask my father to titty the money to you. But the moment he left my office, my knee started to soften. I begin to shake. Because where am I going to get the money? You know, that point in time, all my friends were in difficulties. You know, I saw my friend who was driving big cars, who was staying in big houses. I went to him for help. He sat down with me. He said he owed more money than me. So in the end, both of us also almost bankrupt. So we both of us also, we don't have money. So in the end, what happened? We cannot go to men, but we go to God. So my wife and I, we went to God for, you know, we asked God for forgiveness. And my wife said, you know, pray a very, very interesting prayer. He said, God, we ask for your forgiveness. We have sinned against you. If you want my husband to go bankrupt, I also want to thank you. I look at my wife, how can you pray like that? What if I go bankrupt, you know? But God didn't make me bankrupt. God is a faithful God. You know, He is always giving us the promises. And what happened was that God, you know, fulfilled His promise on the fourth day of our fast and pray. An Indian doctor came to buy a piece of land from us. And not only buying this piece of land, he gave us cash. The amount of money that I owe to the bank is exactly the amount of money that I sold that piece of land. Hallelujah. So, the next day, the bank manager called me. He said, Mr. Tan, thank you so much. I already received money from your father. Isn't that wonderful? God provided that. Hallelujah. God wants to prosper you. Amen. And that's why His promises is to give you the prosperity that you need and not to make you poor, right? And if you are still struggling in your life and don't understand why you have been a Christian for so long and still God is not blessing you, go back to the Word, because it is very clear. The Word says God wants to prosper you, but you have to delight in His Word. You have to be obedient. You have to be blameless. You have to repent all your sins and you have to forgive. And many of us are still harboring with our hurts and unforgiveness. That's why we would not be able to release. You know, in my course on my business, I have very trusted staff who has taken away multi-million of my business away from my company to my competitors. How do you like that? And after that, he has taken the business to my competitors. After 2 years, he was fired from competitor. He came back to me for a job and I rehired him back again. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. You forgive. So he came back, he became a better worker. Hallelujah. So really, God is so wonderful. And we see that, you know, brothers and sisters, in every situation, you have a choice to make. Now, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you want to boast, boast in our to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can boast, because whatever wealth that God has given to us is all from Him. And this is a gift that God has given to us. So therefore, we have to make the choice either to trust in man or to trust in God. So you have to trust in God. So therefore, we know that God's way is very, very simple. God's way is to emphasize on personal responsibility. Each and every one, we are personally accountable to God. We must desire to meet the needs of others. That's why it's important that we just do not be so selfish only take care of our own needs. We have to concern for lasting achievement. We have to yearn for the approval of God. Aspire to serve others. We need to be patient. If you are not patient, God will send somebody who is impatient to make you very patient. You know? So, you have to strive to follow God. Because many a time that we just want to follow man, but we follow God. We have to be interested in cooperation and not in competition. Because in God, all of us in one family. So we need to be motivated. Our motivation is for God's glory, not our personal glory. Amen? So, you have an action to take. You know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen? Amen? So we need to take an action. You see, when we are going through all the trials and tribulation in our life, we have to either, you know, you depending on how you react to the situation. If you want to react, then you suffer. But you respond to God's word. And therefore, you count it joy. Even in difficult situation like for us, my driver smashed 5 cars in 6 years, I still hallelujah. How do you like that? When you smash so many cars and you still love the person and you still love him until that, you know, he cannot take it anymore, he changed. All right? So you have to continue to you know, to decide on that. Therefore, you see, many times that we found that God allows his children to learn from suffering. Amen? Trials are unavoidable. You know, in life, there are so many unexpected circumstances. You plan everything will go well. I planned that in the year 1992, I would take my company to listen. But how did I know that the financial crisis came? I didn't know. My friend in New Zealand, he's here. He's the, you know, one of the richest men. In the year 2008, he was thinking that he could sell the business and begin to serve God full time. But in the year 2008, the world financial crisis came. He lost $500 million NZ dollars. He almost committed suicide. But because he knew the word of God, he sprang back again. And today, he is still serving God wholeheartedly. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why trials can make us spiritually strong. Because many a time that we say, now how do we, you know, go back to God? Without trials, we always depend on our own. But with trials, we have nobody to turn to but to God. And therefore, we always turn to God for an answer. But when God has blessed you and God has taken away all your pains, and you go back to your old self again. You see, many of us, we are very quick to forget. And that's why it is important for us to constantly remind ourselves and fellowship so that we challenge one another, you know, to continue to just be with God all the time. Trials can change us from, you know, into the character image of Christ. And that's why it is important that, you know, why God says that the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 fruits, every time God got to pluck out some, you know, the some, you know, the undesirable elements from your life, you feel the pain. But God wants to fill you with good fruits. Amen? Amen? So, there is a great blessing to receive, brothers and sisters. Because we are here, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. You see, today I want to thank God. 2005, I was still owing the bank to the tune of about 11.2 million, you know, ringgit. At that time, probably it's about, maybe about 6 million, 5 to 6 million, NZ dollars. And I was thinking that I got to serve God. How am I going to have this kind of, you know, big borrowing and every time worry about what God, you know, we cannot just serve God and at the same time worrying about bank coming after you. 2005, I went for a 3 days fast and pray. And December the 18th, I went to the mountain to pray for 3 days fast and pray. And on the third day, I knew very clearly because the Spirit spoke to me to release 16 of my choice properties. I say, I was, you know, hassling with God. I say, God, how could I sell these choice properties when, you know, I'm collecting so good rental? God said, sell it. I said, no, I can't sell it. Sell it. I cannot sell it. Sell it! I said, yes, sir. So, until God got to shout at me, then I said, okay, sir. You know, I woke up. And I came back and began to sell. I tell you that I got 2 very beautiful property up in the hill that I tried to sell for 2 years. I couldn't sell it. I went through 5 brokers that couldn't sell the choice property. You know, every time that people came, they took, you know, those compass, geomancy, feng shui, you know. And they said that your location is no good. But the moment I came down from the mountain, my wife and I, we went down there, we took down the, you know, their numbers, all the agent's number, and we put our number up there. We said, God, you are our best agent. And we went round 7 rounds to pray in the house. You know, the next day, one Taiwanese lady confirmed and bought 1 house from us. And on the, you know, on the day I went to open the, you know, open the gate, there was one young man standing next to my the other house. He took a compass and he was standing in front of the house under the sun, and he said, "Can I come into your house to take a look at this house?" So he took the compass and went into the house. Apparently, he was so excited because the compass showed the good direction. So he said, "Can you keep the house until tomorrow?" Tomorrow, he brought his father, his boy's uncle, his another master, all together, four of them carrying four compasses, the feng shui master. They enter into the house from the car porch, into the living room, into the bathroom, everywhere. And I could sense, I could see that their body language all in concurrence. They concur with each other. And immediately I up the price another 10%. And the deal was done. Amen. To cut the whole thing short, within 6 months, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our best broker, helped us to dispose 16 properties within 6 months. Hallelujah. And we were set financially free to be able to go around the world to serve God wholeheartedly. We still have business to do, but we employ somebody to run our business, and I run my father's business. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is my family. You know, I have a wonderful family. My eldest daughter, we have one grandson. My eldest daughter is a dentist. And my eldest son-in-law is a solicitor in England. My second daughter lives in Wellington. And my son-in-law is a system consultant. And that is my second daughter. And that is the boy, the miracle boy, 21 years old now. Now he's studying in Sydney now, 21 years old. So this is a wonderful blessing of God. So when God wants to bless you, God is going to bless you completely. And he will not add a single sorrow into your life. Let us all stand. Let us all rise up. Hallelujah. And we know that today, God's blessing has already come to this place. Many of us have been revived. And I believe that God has spoken to your hearts. And I believe that if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, God says, you just release it today. When you have any health problem, God says, you just release it. Because he knows all your problems. And today I want to just invite you to come. And I want to anoint you with this oil. And bring this blessing upon you. All right? Maybe for those of you who can come, the ladies, you stand one side. And the men, you come. And then I want to anoint you with oil. So that God will continue to bless you. God will continue to release you and bring this blessing upon your life. And we know that as you begin to just go and bless, you know, to bring this blessing to other people, God will continue to pour down his blessing, abundant blessing upon you as well. And may the Father God continue to shower his love upon you. May his grace continue to be with you so that you will enjoy the abundant grace upon your life. That you will always enjoy victory upon victory, grace upon grace. That let him come into your life and let him bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we just play a soft, revive us, soft music? Would that be okay? That is a very wonderful song, Revive Us. As I go around and then annoy them. You don't have to come. I'll come to you and I'll just bring, I'll just bless you with this oil.